Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of GoTo Unscripted. So this is going to be an unscripted conversation. My guest today is Matt McLarty, CTO at Boomi. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining.
Eric, great to see you.
Yeah, and you're back after a very short while. So recently we talked about your new book, Unbundling the Enterprise, APIs, Optionality, and the Science of Happy Accidents. Great book. Watch the episode, read the book. But we only very briefly touched upon platform engineering. I kind of mentioned it in passing when we were getting to the end of the interview. And I kind of sensed that you found the topic interesting. I found it interesting myself. I find it interesting myself. So today we're back and we're doing an unscripted episode on platform engineering. And we're calling it Platform Engineering Blind Spots to understand a little bit better where those might be and to give you a little bit of a setup here. So my question to you was whether platform engineering, as it is mostly portrayed today, might have a little bit of a blind spot because there's not so much a focus on which APIs to provide throughout the organization to provide these options that new interesting things can happen. And let's discuss about this a little bit as a starting point, because then we can really kind of start from the premise of the book and then dive a little bit deeper into platform engineering topics.
So much to talk about. I think that there's a whole wide range of areas, and maybe characterizing this as we both have as blind spots sounds a little harsh, a little negative. I mean, there's lots of goodness in
fuzzy spots, maybe.
the point is, like, we drive cars, we have blind spots, but we drive cars for a purpose, and we get what we need to do, we get it done. So there's lots to consider here. I think the segue from the book, I think, is a good one, because we published our book on IT Revolution, which is a Gene Kim's publishing house. Published so many excellent books, from Team Topologies to Accelerate to DevOps Handbook and Phoenix Project and so on, very aligned with the whole DevOps movement. And I would say DevOps is really the foundation for the platform engineering movement. In fact, Stephen Fishman, and I presented at the what is now called the Enterprise Technology Leadership Summit in Vegas last summer. And really the overarching theme, other than AI, which we're not going to get into that today. I hope was all around platform engineering. I think our book is very much a fit for that whole library of books, but in a very complementary way, in that we are covering areas that maybe do cover some of those blind spots. But yeah, I think great topic to dive into with platform engineering.
To maybe give a little bit of a background of why I even asked that question. In my mind, and I totally agree with you that platform engineering very much kind of builds on the foundations of DevOps. So my very, very short explanation of platform engineering basically is just it's scaling DevOps. It's trying to get away from doing one DevOps thing next to the other and trying to understand how can I do this more effectively by building certain things into the platform so that they can be more easily reused. And when you look at a lot of platform engineering things that get published and you just systematically sort of search for APIs, then oftentimes the only APIs that get managed, that get mentioned are the APIs of the platform itself, right? So the functionality of the platform, not so much those of the building blocks that in my mind also should be made available. And that was kind of my starting point, why I think there is a little bit of a blind spot or a little bit of a lack of focus on APIs.
Yeah, I think platform engineering, there's a lot of ways to sort of start looking at it. We can look at it as a movement. And I think from that perspective, there's some interesting factors as to why you might develop blind spots. Just like microservices and DevOps, I feel like platform engineering is one of these organic movements that people have sort of observed patterns emerging across different organizations that are practicing what you'd call platform engineering. They sort of extract the principles and practices of it to define something generic, and then they try and reapply it in places. And you can end up with some interesting sort of loss of information when you do it that way. And I do think it's sort of interesting to look at it that way, because if platform engineering is about saying pragmatically, we want to drive better developer velocity, we want to drive better developer experience, we want to make things as frictionless as possible for developers to take the ideas of the business, put them into digital solutions, and then get them out into production as quickly as possible, and then do all those good DevOps things around being able to get quick responsive feedback about what's happening and keep that velocity and that tight cycle time. Like, that's really the underlying, I think, goal of platform engineering. But another way maybe to look at it, and sorry, before I go into it, I think there's a site that as we were researching this episode, I wanted to make sure I was checking my blind spots, called platformengineering.org, which is kind of telling the whole history of platform engineering. But the succinct definition off the top, I'm going to read it, is platform engineering is the discipline of designing and building tool chains and workflows that enable self-service capabilities for software engineering organizations in the cloud native era. So that's one way to define it. I think when you read that definition, it's very code centric. It's very engineering centric. It's very IT centric. I think maybe the first opportunity or missed opportunity, maybe without using blind spot, overusing blind spot, is my experience with, we have many blind spots ourselves being API folks. I think the big challenge that we've seen all along is how do you get business people to understand the value of these composable software landscapes, which is platform engineering is looking at it in one perspective. We might look at it in a different perspective from the API world. But the business people that I've talked to actually understand the value of composable architectures and these high optionality software environments. Think of it as platforms. They're actually, their picture of what it means to have a business as a platform is I've got all these digital building blocks that are my business functionality, and I'm able to use those in different ways to solve new problems, to open up new channels, to exploit new markets, all that stuff. And they say that's like the platform, business as a platform. And then there's even more specialized things like platform business models, which is some sort of a narrowing of that. But the reason I bring this up is because one offshoot of DevOps has been this platform engineering movement. Another, and I think this is where Gene and IT Revolution were going by with this event, the Enterprise Technology Leadership Summit, is that we bridged the development and operations divide with the DevOps movement. That was really about there's these two functions that are working in isolation. And if we got better communication and optimization of the relationship between development and operations, we would be much better off. And that's, I think, proven to be true. But the next big chasm is between business and DevOps, right? Between getting the people who are providing the funding and actually have the ultimate outcomes from that to reap the benefits. And I think if we look at that definition of platform engineering, it was really within the development and operations tent. And then I think it would sort of, if our overarching goal is to deliver the right business outcomes as quickly as possible, then I don't know if there's in the definition that I just read out there, I don't think there's so much of the why, like what are we building? Why are we building it? It's more about how do we build things quickly and get them out there. So I think that's maybe the biggest objection I have been raising with the focus of platform engineering. It's not like there's anything wrong with it. It's good to have high velocity delivery. But it's more at what point are you thinking about what is being built and at what point are you leveraging building blocks that could be built? Anyway, that was a lot.
Yeah, no, but I completely agree. Your whole kind of lining up platform, I a little while ago, I gave some presentation somewhere where I talked about like five different notions of platforms. So I talked about IT platforms, the internal developer platforms, API platforms, business platforms, and then the platform businesses, mm-hmm. right? And I think mostly I did this to amuse myself because I found it interesting to think about how all these different things kind of what the relationship is, and also mm-hmm. to explain to people that actually was my motivation, to explain to people that if you start talking about platforms, take a minute to make sure that you talk about the same kind of platform, because they are very, very different ideas of what you actually refer to when you say platform, right? And in the platform engineering space, I think the word platform there implicitly always refers to this IDP, to the internal developer platform, right? Which is this kind of efficiency thing. It's like, I can build stuff faster, which is good. You want to build stuff faster, right? But that IDP is not really that much connected to the business platform, not necessarily. Right. And that's exactly where also I see kind of this missing link where, yes, it's good that you can build stuff faster, but if you want to build valuable stuff faster, you probably need the right building blocks to go into building those valuable things. And you have to carefully think about those building blocks that give you this optionality, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can build stuff faster, but it's not necessarily stuff that will really provide a lot of value for you. And I think that really is kind of the almost the risk of using such a super generic term like platform, where everybody implicitly assumes, sure, I know what a platform is. It's stuff that you build on, right? That's what a platform is. But then when you start actually talking about what kind of platform you want and what you're doing with it and what you want, then people think, oh yeah, if we're building a platform, then we'll get all the nice things. And I think that's kind of where I see a little bit of the risk, that if you invest too much into platform engineering in that narrow sense, and you don't invest into building up this optionality with APIs and good building blocks, then it's not a good balance between being able to build stuff fast, but maybe not the valuable stuff that you really would want to build, I would say.
Well, and I think, so one of the, I would say an overarching thesis of the book is around, we've mentioned optionality a few times, so maybe it's worth, if you haven't listened to our book episode, listen to it, but if you haven't, I'll, for your benefit, like optionality is, I think, the property that is an unmeasured property most of the time in our enterprise landscape. I think there's a lot of intuition around it, like, oh, you know, we know that one service that's running and providing all the customer information to all the different systems is a really valuable service, and business people can form an intuitive understanding that, oh yeah, we do know about that such and such service that's providing whatever value to the organization. And we know we don't have to question the funding for that. We do know in the financial world that we have these things that are like stock options, and optionality is something that is understood as a valuable thing in markets. And there's ways of measuring that. And there have been studies, and Dr. Carlos Baldwin's the preeminent expert in the field. She's at Harvard. She's written books on this, just had a new book come out, Design Rules, like a sequel to a book she'd put out a few years ago. But it's the whole, like, what if we were to apply that and measure the value of optionality in this digital business context? And interestingly, I think a lot of the new book focuses on these platform elements, but I think, again, it's not even just about, you know, what you're building, making sure that's valuable. That's really important. And I do think there's blind spots that we've talked about there, but even as you build things, how do you build in optionality? If we accept that optionality is a really valuable property, then you want to have platforms that allow you to build that optionality in as well. And that means that environments where you're doing a lot of bespoke code development that is for one monolithic application or for one piece over here, you know, there's a whole architectural discussion that's independent of platform engineering, I think. But it's the fact that it's so code-centric can lead you down a path of maybe not harvesting the optionality that you want to get either. But I think the right way to orient the discussion really for people who are like deep into the platform engineering concept is like, just step outside that bubble for a second and think about it in business terms. And especially think about the conversation you probably have to have with your business partners around. You can, like, and I've experienced this working with companies where they like design the world's greatest, most optimized delivery pipeline for IT. And then they have to go and hand the bill to business people and explain what the value is, right? Like, if you took that definition that was there to your business people and said, we need money for this, I'm not sure they're going to sign the check, right? Like, I think there has to be more. But if you went to your business people and said, like, we're going to create a platform of business capabilities that's going to have all this, you know, you can even talk optionality with them, and it's going to be aligned and gets you, like, by virtue of these building blocks that we're going to have in this platform, it's going to get you your business outcomes quicker, more reliably, with less investment, then you have a basis for a discussion.
So I'm wondering, you said you have to build in optionality. Is that something where you would refer to things like the Bezos mandate and these things? Because I remember during the book interview, Stephen Fishman, your co-author, he gave, I think, this really interesting idea of, well, at least maybe you don't have to really issue the Bezos mandate. There must be APIs, but it should be the default, right? It should be the default assumption that if you build something, you build it so that it can be reused, that it provides options. And if you don't do that, there has to be a reason for that. Is that what you mean by the kind of building in optionality?
It really is a style of building in defaults. And if you're actually providing the platform to developers and say, go build with this, what a great way to provide a forcing function for people to build things. And, you know, you're providing an opinionated platform and how they can build things. So, for example, we in the API world are very familiar with developer portals with APIs. And probably I know a lot of developers who are in that code centric world know about APIs and thinking about external services and plugging those in and utilizing those. They may not be thinking about things the same way within their own enterprise, but I think it is really a set of principles and design approaches. And even if you can even design a methodology around it, like at what point, even if you look across agile methodologies, again, there's a tight affinity between a lot of different agile methodologies and the DevOps world. They kind of, there's this progression that's come out of that. At what stage are you actually looking through a catalog of existing building blocks to start your development? It can start as early as when you're even doing business ideation. We have methods of doing that in the book around value dynamics and so on. But even if you've already decided what you're going to build, at what point are you looking through the catalog of assets that you already have? If that's not a facility of your platform, then you've already had a missed opportunity where you could be coding your way down the road and then having to revert back, or you never find out that there was some component that was already available for you to use via API. So I think thinking about what defaults that you're promoting with the platform is a good thing, because I think, as you say, like, the building with optionality versus without optionality is something that is more in the approach that you're taking to building things than it is a set investment like, oh, here's the work package to go build the optionality. No, it's more of a design consideration up front.
You know, it sounds very similar sometimes to the microservices discussion to me, where it was also, you know, it became this like mechanical principle almost, where people just said, oh, let's just divide everything up into very, very small individual services. And sometimes that was a good idea. And then sometimes maybe it was not really all that necessary. But it just became like this mechanical thing to do because everybody else is doing it. And then the question is a little bit like, is platform engineering kind of following in those footsteps maybe a little bit by this, everybody just saying, oh, we need to, if we cannot deploy, I don't know, right, in some ridiculously short amount of time, then something is wrong. Yeah. And instead of asking yourself, do we really need that? Like in particular, if it's that expensive.
Yeah, this is not platform engineering's fault as a movement. I think this is the pattern of tech movements in general. And you brought up microservices. Like this is an infuriating pattern. I alluded to it a little bit when I talked about how this was sort of an organic movement. So we had this, you know, I'm dating myself here, but service-oriented architecture, big deal, 20 years ago, right? And it was, here's a set of principles around some software engine, software architecture stuff. Like, hey, if you have reusable services, we can do this. It just got people wanted to be really pedantic about it. It would be like, make every single thing reusable, or it has to be, they glom onto the implementation versus the principles. Be like, oh, so SOA equals SOAP. So I'm going to make web services everywhere. And that's, then I have a service oriented architecture, right? And then we go down this, the Gartner has their hype cycle thing. You go into the trough and everyone's like, hey, all these benefits that were actually tied to the original principles didn't bear out because we abandoned the principles and just focused on some technical aspect of it. And then we didn't get the principles. So this must be a bad movement and wipe it out. Right. And then it sort of, those principles may come back in a different form. This was microservices, right? Same sort of idea with some new technology, new angles and synthesizing things like domain driven design. And they're very sound principles, but then everyone's like, oh, microservices, split everything up into granular services and put them in Docker containers and Kubernetes and where you have microservices, right? Hey, how come we're not getting the benefits? Microservices is bad. We need a composable monolith or whatever, you know, or modular monolith or things like
a modulith. No, that's
the modulith. The okay, modulith. There you go. Yes. So like this happens again and again. It's like we run to one side of the boat and it tips this way, and then we run to the other side of the boat and it tips this way. So, but I think it does come back to this, that pattern I was describing before, where we observe success. Like we see Netflix and Netflix and Amazon are doing this thing where they have these services that are small and they're modular and they're reusing them. And we call it microservices. When Netflix and Amazon were still calling it service oriented architecture, they actually kind of abided by the principles. So this stuff happens. I do think part of it is we want to understand what's happening. We want to understand what the success is. I think platform engineering to a degree, you can look at the Amazon model very much. Amazon has yes, they have platforms that they bootstrap for their developers so that they can get the developers up and running quickly. They have a ton of developers. They need scale. So they have a platform that they provide. It abstracts away a lot of the complexity for the developers. They can push code through easily. It's like one of the case studies that led to platform engineering, I would say. But there's so much more than that, right? Like that's within the context of an organization that has platform teams and a very flat organizational structure with very autonomous platform teams. So you can't just extract one piece of it out and say that's going to work everywhere. You have to consider the whole context of what's going on. I think if you can go back to those case studies and say, okay, if this is the, you know, where platform engineering worked, what else was working? What were the other conditions that happened? And I think Amazon is a good example of, well, they had a tight affinity with the business teams. They had very strong principles around this away teams concept of how they reuse pieces and APIs from other teams in the organization. So maybe that is the answer to closing some of the blind spots, is go to the archetypal examples of platform engineering and see what else is going on that led to the outcomes. Because I think people extract a piece of the mechanisms that are leading to the outcomes, but they just take all the outcomes. They're like, well, Amazon did this when it came to platform engineering and they got all these benefits. But all those benefits came from a lot more than just the platform engineering piece.
One of the things that I like to say is that, I mean, every organization has a platform, right? There's always some starting point that developers have to live with. It's not like they're buying new servers and writing their own programming languages or whatever, right? So there always is a platform that is just given to developers as the environment that they develop in. And oftentimes it's not as refined as more advanced ideas of platform engineering, but it's there. And then, right, people oftentimes it is maybe, let's say there's potential, which is the nice way of saying things that I've learned. And then people ask themselves, well, like you said, right, like Amazon does all of this. And then because Amazon is Amazon, right, of course, they have a very, very sophisticated model. Right. And then I think sometimes the easy assumption then is to say, well, let's just crank up everything to 11 and it's going to be great. And I think even in theory, that might be true. It's just, it would be a very bad way of spending resources and money if you try to do the most sophisticated way of doing that. Plus, you might be over-constraining things in a way that just don't make sense for smaller organizations that don't have the scale of Amazon and so forth. So yeah, I think stepping back and trying to better understand what the different knobs are that you can turn. And that's the thing, like coming back to that, I think if you would look at that, right, as like different knobs you can adjust, then I would say this knob of making business building blocks available, that is a knob that very often doesn't get turned up enough.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's really kind of the interesting part where, coming back to the hype cycle, at some point we might actually see that organizations looking, being in the trough and saying, oh, it's not nice here, what can we do? They might realize that, oh, yeah, no, if we actually do a little bit more of that, then actually that gets us to this nice plateau of productivity. Is that something that you would say maybe can help as a general idea to kind of create better business outcomes from platform engineering, or make sure that we get something that is not just technically really impressive, but also just something valuable from the business point of view?
Definitely. Like, I think the focus has to be on the outcomes more than on the approach, right? I think this is a trap that we all fall into, where as technologists, we get excited by technology. We get excited by solutions. And we like to reinvent wheels. Let's be honest, right? Like I've worked with many organizations where the engineers, they want to build a better mousetrap when maybe it's not mice. Maybe there's mountain lions prowling around the house, right? Like, I think so. You have to focus on the outcomes. And when you do that, it's just very grounding. I think also maybe the sort of ironic part of platform engineering that I've seen as well. And this sort of goes for DevOps or microservices or all these sort of affiliated movements with, if you think about the principles of it, it's very much like start small, measure, iterate, right? Follow your nose, follow the intuition, be ready for disruption and be ready for quick changes and so on. And yet we want to implement these things in a grandiose, like we want to build a cathedral, right? And I think that, so even as you're describing it, if you're an organization that's got a lot of legacy, you know, maybe not even in the tech space, but you've got a very big business model to support and very complex business arrangements, lots of stakeholders and so on. You got a lot of complexity in your environment, but you're a long way away from what you might read about what Amazon's doing or what Netflix is doing, right? Like, it's not, you don't want to just say, oh, that's the holy ground and we're going to go and build all of that. And then we're going to, as soon as we flick the switch and turn the lights on of our Amazon system here, everything's going to be better. Like, you do have to inch your way along. And the thing that's going to orient you and moving in the right direction is the business outcomes. So if you're saying that, oh, our velocity is really terrible, so we want to focus on just getting code. We want to get our release sizes down because they always blow up and we need to be more incremental. And we want to get the cycle time down because we keep missing market opportunities or too slow. Do that, but then recognize that platform engineering is just one approach that's going to help you there. I've worked with organizations who will be obsessing over putting in these CI/CD pipelines, and they've got like a big manual testing cycle, business acceptance testing cycle with a whole bunch of people doing a whole bunch of manual stuff. It's like, you're never going to, the pipeline is not going to solve that problem. Like, you've got to do the test automation first. So again, just recognizing that there is a whole suite of capabilities that you can bring into your organizations or competencies like platform engineering and that are going to get you to that outcome. Just focusing on the outcomes, focusing on incremental approach, I think is going to be much better than trying to build the cathedral.
Yeah. Even though I have to say, I just found that interesting because you said we like reinventing wheels, and there is definitely some truth to that. But there was just a little anecdote that I found interesting. So I was at a conference last year speaking to a room of maybe 100, 150 people. some API themes, presentation around API guidelines and governance and these kind of things. And so people clearly were interested in APIs in some shape or form. He were there. And I asked, like, who here has API guidelines in their organization? And very, very few hands went up. And then I asked, who here would like to have API guidelines in their organization? And it was surprising, like, so many people basically just, you know, said, help me. they really, it's not that necessarily people want to design those things, and maybe they even shy away from doing it if somebody just says, yeah, you can do it, but we won't help you. But this idea, there's this great article, I forgot the other, but there's this great article about shifting down, like taking the shift left to shift down. Oh, Richard Sirota. And I really like, maybe that will become, in my mind, kind of the superpower in platform engineering to really understand what needs to be shifted down and what doesn't, what may even be harmful if you do it, right? And identify those things where, from a business point of view, these things should happen. And from a, let's say, efficiency point of view, they should not happen in the teams, but they should be something that the teams can just get done, supported by a platform, and then investing into shifting that particular thing down. I think that might be, you know, it's like that would be the perfect platform engineer in my mind.
Okay. I just had to grok the shift down concept, but that means that if you've got your product team who's building the sort of the streamlined team in team topologies terminology, this would be what do you want to shift down into the platform to drive more efficiency? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So just, you know, just picking up on the shift left topic, right, from DevOps, that you try to do things early on so that they don't bite you later, right? So there was this, let's say, people really trying to shift left things, which is a good thing. And now saying, okay, but if 100 people shift things left, then maybe we can also shift them down so that they don't have to do them at all, because the platform will do it for them.
Yeah, I think I like that idea of shift down that you just explained there. I think it kind of gives us a good sort of purpose of platform engineering. It brings it back to the bigger picture of where platform engineering fits into a pretty complex organization, because we've been talking about sort of these business capabilities and APIs, and that's definitely an area that we see as, hey, here's an opportunity for platform engineering to factor this in. But the organizational stuff is another dimension that's extremely important as well. And we have to be thinking about this in an organizational context. Even the example I just gave there around the manual testing group and so on. Again, if you got to think about, what does your organization look like that's working with this methodology around how you ship software with this platform that you've built, with these capabilities that you have, all those things. And again, it still comes back to the business outcome. So I think, you know, just to maybe sort of wrap up a point of view here, I guess, first of all, this is for those of you tuning in to learn like platform engineering 101, this is not the platform engineering 101, right? We've come assuming some prior knowledge, but so there's so much goodness out there in the platform engineering movement and literature. And I mentioned the ETLS conference, which had great talks diving into these areas of the topic. I said earlier, we don't want to talk about AI, but that whole community is looking now at, you know, how is AI leveraged to optimize things and so on, like we're doing everywhere else. But this is more to, again, always like basic principles. Always keep your eyes on the prize. What are the business outcomes you're afterwards? Don't do technology for technology's sake. Don't start arguing pedantically about terminology and so on. Go back to like, what are you hoping to accomplish with this stuff, right? And I think that just to be, with all due respect to the literatures out there, you know, sometimes it gets down, sometimes it shifts down a little too much to assuming that business outcomes are taken care of. Let's focus on these outcomes, which are just stepping stones. I think having the big business picture outcomes always in mind is the number one grounding thing. It helps you address the blind spots. It helps you come up with the platform approach or the delivery approach that works for your organization, given all that context. So I think that is the main lesson here. APIs factor into it, but probably the number one lesson, and it's definitely something that we talk about a lot in the book, is maintaining that focus on the business, because that's who's going to write the check for the platform anyway.
Yeah, that is very, very true. But I agree with everything you say, of course. And I think, yes, in the end, right, it's all about like, why are we even doing that? And then you better figure out like, where are the biggest gains that you can make? But I do think at least like sprinkling a little bit of that API goodness over the platform engineering movement, I think it would just help, generally speaking, right? Like you said, also with having an easier time proving business value, making sure the right things actually get built or the valuable things get built, right? And overall, just making it more clear why this whole thing exists, not just to be fast, but to create value fast, right? I think that's really the thing.
Yeah, that we're after. It is a fair litmus test to say if the only APIs in your platform are, as you said earlier, APIs for the platform services, right? Then how are you supposed to get to business values quickly? Like it really, we've been building these API portals and API catalogs and organizations with business functions for years. And what have we been building? We've been building platforms. So it's going back to your different definitions of platforms, maybe those five types of platforms, there's a way to get them to synthesize. And maybe there's a new type of platform at the end of that rainbow that is actually the one that's really going to drive the business value.
The Uber platform. Yeah, I don't know. It would be hard to synthesize then, but definitely make sure that when you have platform conversations, my advice now always is spend a minute just level setting everybody on what kind of platform you're even talking about, because otherwise you will have very confusing conversations potentially.
Totally.
Matt, do we have any closing words for us?
Well, we plugged the book enough, so I'm good. I'm good.
No, I really do too.
I really appreciate the conversation. It's always fun to talk with you, Eric.
Okay, so in that case, thanks so much for being here, Matt, and providing us a little bit of insight into optionality and the science of happy accidents and how all of that connects to platform engineering. Thanks everybody for listening. Check out the book interview in the GoTo Book Club and also, of course, other GoTo Unscripted episodes. Bye everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.